Years into their relationship, a couple finds themselves at a crossroads as they move to the countryside, abandoning all that is familiar in their lives except each other. Then, a terrifying encounter with a mysterious, unnatural force threatens to corrupt their lives, their love, and their flesh. I'm Elaine, aka Deep Red Perfect Blue, and today we're talking about relationship horror, the dark side of love, and the brand new horror film, Together. What is up, y'all? I'm Elaine, aka Deep Red Perfect Blue. You might know me from social media, where I post about horror, genre film, and all things spooky. You are listening to the inaugural episode of Deep Red Perfect Spooks. I'm here with my co-host, my partner in crime, and my husband, B.
What's up?
What's up? And we're going to tell you about what we've got cooking here. We have designed season one to follow the fall horror release schedule. So we're going to talk about all the new exciting horror releases, get into some spoilers, discussion of the movie, maybe talk about some influences for the film, and we're going to release a cover song to go with each episode each week. Something you probably don't know about me is that I am a musician and a songwriter, as is B. So we're going to be bringing you some songs, some stories, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the latest horror releases. So this week we're talking about Neon's new cosmic body horror, Together. This one stars Dave Franco and Allison Brie as Tim and Millie, a couple who have been together forever and they're starting to feel it. So these guys move out to the countryside to take their relationship to the next level when a supernatural encounter in the woods causes them to merge in more ways than one. B and I had the chance to see this about a month ago. We were given the opportunity by Neon to go on a little date. I absolutely loved the film. I'm a big, big body horror person. I especially love when body horror is used as a vehicle to sort of explore some dark side of the human experience. And that is definitely the case here with Together.
If you're like me and you're not into body horror, this one's going to be rough for you.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough.
Yeah, there were some moments where, not to out you, but B was definitely watching through his fingers a little bit. So it's gnarly. It is as gnarly as they are saying, folks.
It was gnarly, but it was also disturbing emotionally because you and I definitely saw ourselves in some of the scenes.
Oh my. Okay, yeah, this one, like, not only being in a long-term relationship, but
we're musicians.
We're musicians. Dave Franco's character is a musician. I also used to be a teacher, and Allison Brie's character is a teacher. Yeah, this one was like almost a little too catered to us.
It hit home a little too hard.
It hit home. So yeah, so they play a couple. They're a couple in real life, if you didn't already know, which I think, of course, lent itself pretty well to the movie. I mean, obviously, they have chemistry off screen, so they do on screen as well. Like I said before, the best body horror is used as a way to explore some facet of the human experience, right? So this one really focuses on codependency in relationships.
We don't have that.
No, definitely not us. Not reading ourselves into like every part of this film. But yeah, so it uses this metaphor of sort of merging, becoming one and like losing yourself entirely in another person. It uses the body horror to explore that in the grossest way possible.
And Elaine ordered mozzarella sticks in the movie.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing to note about me.
Tough to eat mozzarella sticks while watching two bodies turn into one.
Yeah, this is actually my MO. I love to, I mean, I've probably talked about this on my page before, like ad nauseum, but I love to tell everybody who will listen that when I was in high school and I was actually just getting into body horror, my friend and I watched The Human Centipede, except we had to pause midway because her dad called us downstairs for a dinner that I think was ribs. It was either ribs or wings. And so, yeah, we paused, we ate, and we came back. And I've been this way ever since.
This is why you're so fucked up.
This is why I'm so
fucked up. Formative years were filled with Human Centipede and wings.
Yeah, it tracks. The film is, yeah, it's essentially a body horror film. It's also a bit of a comedy. There's definitely some dark humor in there. And it's a romance. Like I said, this was like a perfect date movie for us, even though, you know, B is not as into body horror as I am. It definitely feels like a date movie. You know, if it's a first date and you don't know whether or not they're going to be into this, this might be like a litmus test for your new relationship. So yeah, if you've got someone, I highly recommend you take them on a date to go see together.
I don't. go see it on your own first and then go see it again with your date.
Yeah, go see it again with your date,
see
I guess.
It twice. It was good. I would watch it again.
If you go alone, it'll probably just solidify your singlehood. Like, you will be glad to be single. The next section contains spoilers for Together. If you have yet to see the movie, skip ahead to 12 minutes and 7 seconds. So, yeah, it's a little bit funny. It's a little bit romantic. It's a lot gross. B, what was the grossest part? Light spoilers ahead. What was the grossest part for you?
Yeah, I don't want to ruin anything, but there was a particular scene in a bathroom stall that I can still feel. And I felt through the screen when I watched it for the first time. It was excruciating.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, if you've made it to this point in the episode, you have already seen the film and you know exactly what we're talking about, especially you gentlemen out there. The film is not afraid to go there, gets to some uncomfortable places, and I love it all the more for that. If you know, you know, and if you don't, I'm about to hit you with the warning label, the part of the show where we give you the rundown on all the NSFWs in this week's movie Together, including but not limited to Cronenbergian dogs, Dave Franco's butt, one new age cult, one undulating cave, one uncomfortable proposal, at least 6 rats, body merging, hair munching, ritualistic arm cutting, penis pulling, emergency bone saw surgery, bathroom sex, fused humanoids, a knife to the neck, Plato Symposium, and the Spice Girls. The part that made me the most uncomfortable actually had nothing to do with the horror at all, but it was that early scene where Tim and Millie are throwing a going away party with all their friends and coworkers. It's their last night in their city apartment. They're saying their last goodbyes when suddenly, without warning, Millie whips out a ring and proposes to Tim in front of all their friends. And I believe at this point in the movie, they had kind of established that, not that Tim and Millie were on the rocks per se, but that they were struggling, particularly Tim, with their station in life. Like, Tim has some trauma with his parents he hasn't really dealt with. And this trauma shows up in some pretty hair-raising ways, y'all. There's some creepy nightmare sequences with his parents that are really well done, definitely got under my skin. But anyways, yeah, Millie's just standing there with this ring and this stupid grin in front of all their friends. Like, she totally has him cornered. And Tim, like, struggles to answer, and the whole thing just really got under my skin. Like, it was so uncomfortable. It's a pretty important scene, though, because it establishes Millie's character as the dominant one. Tim is struggling emotionally. He's struggling to find work, and sort of by default, Millie's in the driver's seat. She's definitely the more controlling one, or perhaps the one that's, like, more in control of her life or their lives. They're moving to the countryside primarily for her new teaching job, that's the part of the movie besides the whole sleeping in a cave overnight part for which you're going to have to suspend disbelief. Like, as a former elementary middle school teacher who left my job because I was literally making more money in music of all things, the house in the countryside on one teacher's salary is the thing that puts this movie in the fantasy genre. Anyways, I don't think the film ever really paints Millie in a bad light, but her dominating the relationship definitely shows up not only in their interactions, like the proposal scene, but also in the horror as well. Exhibit A, like Pee-wee. Exhibit A! There's that scene where it's where Millie's driving off to work and Tim stays behind and he's in the shower at the house when their cosmic connection kicks in, and then, like, every turn that Millie takes in the car, Tim is taking violently with his own body, like, smashing into the tile walls. It's like she's literally the driver here, and Tim has no control, no power. Exhibit B, the aforementioned bathroom scene. I'm pretty sure this is when the movie became funny for me, too. Like, the whole situation is just so ridiculous. They're so attracted to each other because of, you know, this supernatural spell they've been put under. That not only is Tim, like, munching on Millie's hair in the middle of the night, he's busting into her elementary school in the middle of the day. And she's like, hot, let's take it to the boys' bathroom. Where he proceeds to get stuck inside her. Literally. Obviously, the shock factor and the humor are the biggest takeaways here. But I don't know. It also works as a metaphor for being stuck. Like, he's stuck in his own life and career. Plus, he's traumatized by what happened with his parents. And so he projects all of that onto their relationship and now has become stuck in Millie, stuck in her dreams, in her plans, in her timeline, everything. And then Exhibit C, that perfect ending. And this is actually the moment that bumped this movie from a solid 3.5 stars out of 5 to 4 for me. So when we remember that Millie's parents are coming to visit and they show up right after the final stage of Tim and Millie's merging, which we do see, but not all the way till the end. So we're also wondering who or what's going to answer the door when the parents knock. We do kind of have an idea because at this point we know another character who's been through this fusing ritual, and it's their neighbor and Millie's coworker, Jamie, who we know at this point is a key player in this new age cult and is actually two people, himself and his husband, fused into one. So in the final 3 seconds of the movie, Tilly answers the door, like, kind of nonchalantly, and it's basically Millie but with more boyish features. Like, it looks like a cross between the two of them, but definitely a little more Millie. And then it slam cuts to the credits, and we're left to wonder about what goes down from there. So you leave the theater kind of laughing, but also with this uncomfortable feeling. Speaking of uncomfortable, there is an ongoing plagiarism lawsuit surrounding this film. I do want to talk about it because I don't want to seem disingenuous. You know, I really genuinely liked this film and I'm rooting for this film. I went into this film having just heard that the film was, or I guess the studio and Dave Franco and Alison Brie and the director, writer Michael Shanks were all named in a plagiarism lawsuit. So I'm going to give you just a couple details about that if you don't know. But I just heard that the news had broke like a week prior, as I said. And so I had to kind of sit on this film for a little while. I didn't really feel comfortable talking about it just yet because I had just heard this and didn't really know the facts. At the time of recording this, there have been some more facts that have come to light, but there still has not been, I think, a court date yet. I think we're approaching it. So essentially, there was another indie film or a script for another indie film called Better Half that came across Alison Brie and Dave Franco's desks or their agents' desks in, I believe, the year 2020. Actually, the year is very important. I have not been able to get my hands on this film and I've actually tried. It does not have distribution. It was made. It was not made with Dave Franco and Alison Brie. They read the scripts or their agents read the scripts and turned it down. But the synopsis for the film reads, Arturo, who is searching for true love, and Daphne, a polygamist allergic to commitment, meet for a one-night stand, but they end up finding their missing halves when their bodies fuse during sex. So yeah, like right off the bat, that sounds pretty similar to Together. I mean, already just reading that 1-2 sentence synopsis, you can see why there might be a problem here. The story goes that the film was turned down by Dave Franco and Alison Brie. And then, of course, we get to 2025. And I believe this premiered at Sundance, which was in January of this year. And there were people in the audience from the small studio that had worked on Better Half. And they, in their statement, said they were stunned at the similarities between the two. Obviously, since Dave Franco and Alison Brie were asked to be a part of that film and then turned it down, yeah, I can see why most people would hear that and point blank believe it and not really need any more details. However, the plot thickens. A statement was released by writer-director Michael Shanks, that's the writer-director of Together, in which he claims that the claims against his movie are entirely untrue. He gets into his own background and his personal story that kind of inspired the script for Together, but most importantly, he comes with receipts. So he says, quote, "I wish I didn't have to clarify this, but I completed the first draft in 2019 and registered it to the Writers Guild of America that same year. In October 2020, I received development funding from Screen Australia to further the project. In 2022, my agent at WME introduced me to Dave Franco, blah, blah, blah." Okay, so the first meeting with Dave Franco and Alison Brie happened 2 years after they were given the script for Better Half. So yeah, it is possible that there was a little bit of like idea incubation there. Like if Dave Franco and Alison Brie had that script in the back of their minds and they're hit with this very similar script, it's possible that the script, as any script would, may have morphed a little bit to be more like the Better Half script. So, you know, whether or not that's considered plagiarism is, I suppose, up to the court. I could see that there was a lot of heart put into this film by the main actors, but also like the writing felt really personal. And I just, there, nothing about the film, like on its own, standing alone, felt like any sort of ripoff. Like there's definitely some obvious influences there, which we might get into. You know, it reminded me a lot of Zawofsky's Possession. That's 1981.
Society.
Oh, definitely. Oh my God. I love you for mentioning that. See, he does. He likes body horror more than
sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. Society. If you guys have seen that, the last 20 minutes of Society is, you know, all over this film. Obviously, there's other films in this film, but it does not feel like any sort of a ripoff.
The
like
idea itself is nothing that revolutionary, right?
Oh, I mean, totally. People were citing the specific reference to Plato's Symposium, basically the old tale of Zeus and how he split us all in half and we used to be connected and have, you know, four arms and four legs, blah, blah,
the
blah.
The origin of love.
Oh.
The origin of love.
The origin of love. Okay, yeah. If you have not seen Hedwig, maybe both of these films owe something to Hedwig and The Angry Inch. An amazing movie. If you haven't seen it, there's literally a whole song and dance and animated sequence about this Zeus story and the origin of love. Full disclosure, I actually have a screenplay that I abandoned where two characters talk about this same exact thing about Plato's Symposium. It's not super central to the plot, but I wrote it before I knew anything about Together, obviously before I knew anything about Better Half. This is philosophy 101 shit. Both of these guys took the same class back in college and they've had their ideas for their body horror films brewing ever since. I would like to believe there is room in this world for both films. But yeah, there are a lot of striking similarities. I'm gonna try to keep an open mind and I think you should too.
You're listening to Deep Red Perfect Spooks. That's your special someone calling to tell you they'll be home soon. So who's that lying next to you in bed?
Speaking of similar films,
mm-hmm.
When you see this one, if you like it and you want to see more like it,
oh yes,
what should you watch?
Okay. Oh, this is my favorite thing
to
do.
Because I'm new to this. I need some help with
it. This is my favorite that I love to make list videos.
You gotta get me into it. It's
okay.
Really hard.
Okay, so we're going to, well, how about this? We can kind of keep it body horror, but what if we call it relationship horror?
I'm down with
it. Okay. Yeah, because like what the crux of this movie is relationship horror.
Something
like,
good to watch with your partner too. Like if your partner is with you and you guys want to watch a scary movie.
Okay. Okay. So like maybe some romance horror, maybe some body horror, but relationship horror. Okay. It's a pretty polarizing film, I've learned from my days on the internet. But one of my all-time favorite horror movies is Possession, 1981. That is the film with, oh, it's so good. That's with Isabel Anjani and Sam Neill. They are a couple who is basically like crumbling and falling apart. It's basically like marriage as self-annihilation, and it is so intense. Like there's a lot of screaming There is some body horror. There is some cosmic horror.
It's disturbing.
It's very disturbing. It is. And it was shot in, I think it was West Berlin, but again, 1981 is when the film came out. In Europe, that's when it came out. So that was when the wall was still up. So the wall is like present in the film, and I think it was very intentional, you know, like as a representation of a divide between the two main characters. Yeah,
wow,
it's
I never
spooky.
Thought about that. Oh my God.
Yeah,
wow.
Dude. Yes. Yeah, it's really spooky, and like the way that they paint Berlin, like I feel like I hate when people say this because it sounds pretentious, but it is true. Like Berlin is kind of a character in the movie. It's really creepy, and it's decrepit. Like they're in these apartments that are just like absolutely falling apart.
Berlin is an underrated city. It is a spooky place.
Yeah, Berlin's fucking rad, especially I guess if you're into techno and partying. Yeah, and it's spooky. It is a spooky place. We went a few years ago and we stayed on the east side, right? We were east. But yeah, so Berlin is very much present in the film. Great film. If you haven't seen that, stop what you're doing. Okay, but wait, you said date night movies or like movies to watch with your partner and have some fun. I don't know if Possession really fits the bill. Some of these are not gonna. But one that will, actually, that isn't out just yet. I think it has a release date of October. It's October 24th. Bone Lake. This one is wild. I saw it last year at Fantastic Fest. Sexy, fun, totally unhinged. Without giving too much away, it uses the whole Airbnb mishap setup as a springboard for much more interesting and twisted ideas. It kind of errs on the side of erotic thriller, but don't let anybody tell you it's not horror. Just wait till the third act because this one delivers. Another film that I would highly recommend if we're talking about relationship horror that's also body horror, I guess Fresh. Remember watching Fresh?
Yeah, that one was great. Yeah. I loved Fresh.
Yeah. God, I don't know how heavy to get into spoilers here because that's one of those movies
don't
where
give away
I know.
Anything.
Yeah, it like really hinges upon.
Just watch it.
Yeah, it
just
really hinges it. Upon the going blind experience. Like
anybody that's listening to this will probably like Fresh.
Yeah, yeah. If you haven't already seen Fresh, it's from 2022. I believe it's a Hulu original. It's on Hulu. Check that out.
The casting was incredible.
Oh yeah. It's Sebastian Stan, right? Yeah, he's in more stuff now, and everything I see him in, I love. The Fly. That's more body horror than anything. The Fly's kind of sad. It's sad. Like, and that's a relationship that just absolutely falls apart. Gerald's Game. I bet a lot of you have seen that because it's on Netflix. That's a Mike Flanagan film. It's an adaptation of a Stephen King novel or short, not sure. But essentially the premise, if you have not seen it, the premise is that a woman is having relations with her husband who has handcuffed her to the bed, both hands. And mid-coitus, he dies, and she's stuck there. Sounds boring? Absolutely not. No, because Stephen King, he can take a simple premise and make it as nightmarish as possible. Mike Flanagan does a great job adapting it.
I was shocked at how much I liked that, because you told me that, and I thought, that
hell no.
Was it. And I thought I knew everything about it, but no.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like that's the hook to get you in, but there's a lot more to that film. So Gerald's Game, 2017. A couple more, rapid fire, Honeymoon, 2014. This is not one that gets talked about nearly enough. It's super creepy. Like of all the films we've discussed, I would say it's the straight up scariest, maybe.
Yeah.
You remember that one? We watched it like when it came out. So
yeah,
it's not,
a while ago.
Yeah, it's not really fresh in my mind, but basically it's about young newlyweds who travel to a remote lake cottage for their honeymoon. And shit gets really weird. There's actually some body horror elements in that too, if I recall. Not going to give anything away though. That one is spooky as fuck. Another one I think you should watch is Park Chan-wook's Thirst. This is a horror romance vampire movie. I think it's one of the better vampire movies, honestly, and it's another one that doesn't get talked about nearly enough.
That's high praise.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good vampire movies.
There are a lot. I mean, like Bram Stoker's Dracula 92, that's like maybe the best horror romance of all time. That may be the best vampire. I don't know.
I feel like there's quite a few Nick Cage vampire movies that could be out there.
Oh, well, anything Nick Cage is in is a romance to me.
We're big Nick Cage fans.
Yeah, Nick Cage, that just automatically 5 stars. Any movie with Nick Cage. Bones and All was one that I watched this year. I actually saw somebody compare that to Thirst. They're not vampires, they're cannibals. But that's a film that came out in 2022. It's Luca Guadagnino, and it stars Timmy, your boy, Timmy Chalamet, and Taylor Russell. They're both really excellent in the film. Highly recommend. I actually gave that one 5 stars, like for real. And there's no Nick Cage. Midsommar, that's a relationship horror movie. Y'all have seen that. And if you haven't, what are we doing? Audition 99. Takashi Miike, if you can handle Together, if you can handle Possession, I think you're ready to graduate to Audition. And then if you can handle Audition, maybe we get into Final Exam shit and we watch Antichrist. If you haven't seen that, it's Lars von Trier. If you know who Lars von Trier is, I don't really need to say much more. That one is about a grieving couple who retreats to their cabin in the woods, hoping to repair their broken hearts and their troubled marriage. But nature takes its course. Things go from bad to worse. Emphasis on worse. Together by Sweet Jane X is streaming everywhere now. Click the link in the show notes below to listen. Follow Deep Red Perfect Blue for more horror and genre film, and listen right here next week when we dive into the terrifying new horror epic, Weapons. Stay spooky, y'all.